The military system is very keen on getting the most out of people. They have huge numbers of people who are athletes in one way or another that are training. So it's been interesting, the number of the interviews I've done are people that are coming out of that background and want to work with that population.
Hey everyone, Nathan Long here, president of Saybrook University here in beautiful Pasadena, California. Welcome to another episode of Saybrook Insights. Today, my guest is Dr. Eric Wilmarth. He's joining us again, but this time to talk about something really cool, our sport performance psychology program. It's very new. We're going to cover what it is, why it has value in today's culture, the type of students this sort of program could be an excellent fit for, how you get admitted into the program, all the nitty-gritty details, but compacted into about a 20-minute episode, so it's perfect. You can learn all about it, and I think you'll take away some really important vignettes about how vital this is, not just for athletes, but for musicians, dancers, and the like, so you're going to see a lot of crossover. All right, let's get to it with Dr. Eric Wilmarth. Well, I'm pleased to be joined today by Dr. Eric Wilmarth, the esteemed department chair for our Department of Psychophysiology here at Saybrook University. Good to have you here on Saybrook Insights, sir.
Thank you, Nathan. Good to be back again.
Well, as you know, we are here with one very specific task, and a good one at that, talking about the new sport performance psychology program. So let's get started. I've got a number of questions for you, and for those students who are listening, you can find information about sport performance psychology at our Saybrook website, www.saybrook.edu. So, Dr. Wilmarth, what exactly is sport performance psychology, and why is sport singular versus plural?
That seems to be a convention within the field of sports psychology. Sports kind of rolls off the tongue, but we kind of emulated what else was out there in the field. But the combination of sports and performance is important because this isn't only for athletes, but there are a number of other places where optimal performance becomes important. And that can be in acting, in musicians, a number of other fields where people have a set of skills that can be enhanced by the psychology and the physiology of learning more as they go into their professions.
Interesting. So if I were, let's say, a retired baseball coach or basketball coach, and we'll get into this a little bit more, this might help me how? Like, how would this kind of benefit me and the people I would work with?
Well, you know, particularly if you're using a sports analogy, you have people who are excellent athletes, but what really makes the difference of when someone wins or loses tends to be much more of the mental game. And so for quite a number of years now, psychology has played an active role. Anytime you watch the Olympics, you'll hear them talking about training with biofeedback or different mental exercises they do, golf, tennis, a number of sports, the psychological aspects are so important because at that level, the physical attributes of the participants can all be pretty equal. It turns out to be the psychological part that makes a difference to those who consistently win or consistently lose. But that's also true in fields other than sports. So as a coach, it's really nice to be able to not only assess the physical abilities of the people that you're coaching, but also look at their personalities, their dispositions, what motivates them, what dismotivates them, so you can get the optimal output for a patient, a student that's not just based on how much they can lift or how fast they can run.
Yeah, that's a great point. And I would think there was a book called back in the 1980s, early 90s, I think, called The Art of Tennis. Do you remember this at all?
Well, it's the inner sport of something of tennis or something like that, but
Yeah, something like that. But it's actually a musician who wrote that book. So let's spend just a little bit of time here on that, right? So from a performance angle, because this is what you talked about, is kind of the broader umbrella of performance, optimal performance and functioning. How might a musician or a ballet dancer or some other connected field relate to this in some meaningful way.
Yeah, I'll just use some examples from my office. I've seen a number of patients who were in a local orchestra, and some of them would talk about how they can do things perfectly in rehearsal, and then they can't do it during a performance. You know, the anxiety levels, the stress levels, the coping, they tighten up. They're not able to do what they could do when they were by themselves. So those are psychological barriers that, you know, if we address, we'll make them better in their actual performance of things. The other thing is that, you know, music and sports have the other thing in common, that they're both very physical. You know, people underestimate how much, if someone's practicing 6 or 8 hours a day and then, you know, giving lessons and then performing, that's hours of physical activity. And if they do it incorrectly, you can get into a lot of poor muscle patterns and things like that, which wouldn't affect them in the first hour or two, but will seriously affect them down the road. So trying to, you know, identify those early and build good habits rather than letting them get the bad habits in there that will cause physiological problems down the road.
That's right. That's right. My trombone professor, for example, had, I'm going to get the name wrong of this, but focal dystonia, his face fell down on one side and was no longer able to play. And a lot of this was kind of after years and years of perhaps extreme physical tension, but also there was a mind element, right? So there, you have the mind-body component playing into that. I'm really glad you raised that. So it seems like that's a natural segue into, I think, what is a very natural question about Saybrook. Why Saybrook University for a sport performance psychology program?
First off, just to speaking on the applied psychophysiology department, there's really nothing more humanistically based than learning self-regulation, self-control, things that we can do to operate ourselves. So from our very fundamental philosophy, this is a humanistic approach. Why this is in the psychophysiology department instead of the psychology department has to do with why we're different than a lot of other sports programs. Their sports psychology has been around for a long time, but the emphasis on this mind-body connection has been almost exclusively on the mind, and they've been treated differently. By including it within the psychophysiology department, we're recognizing that this is a true mind-body area. And so in our program, we include activities like biofeedback so that they, you know, students can actually see physiologically what's happening at the same time and give that feedback back to the clients that they're working with. So it's one of the few programs in the country right now that also emphasize physiological aspects of the mind-body connection.
I love that answer because I think it really captures the holistic approach to how we work, you know, collectively as a faculty, as a across programs, the multidisciplinary nature and that humanistic, holistic content that we get. I think kind of brass tacks at the end of the day, the philosophy behind the program, the ideas behind it, what degrees can a student get with this program? Is it a master's? Is it a doctorate?
This one is specifically a master's degree in sports performance psychology. It's designed essentially to match external criteria. There's the Association of Sports Psychology, which is a national organization that has a certification in performance. And our programming is designed to meet their criteria of what it would take for a student to then go ahead and get their certifications in sports psychology. So they require a number of courses, anywhere from the psychology of sports injury to the ethics course as applied to sports and performance. So all of the courses in our program match up with the 8 or 9 criteria that organization has, so that we expect them not only to get the information and be able to use it in our class, but also to get external certifications, which can be also career enhancing.
All right, terrific. So if we look at the type of student then that this is going to attract, can you give us sort of a specific view of those students who might benefit from a program like this?
Well, I can talk about the students I've talked to so far. Interestingly, one of the groups that's interested are people who have come out of the military. And because there's a lot of work within defense contractors that are looking at optimal functioning. The military system is a very keen on getting the most out of people. They have huge numbers of people who are athletes in one way or another that are training. So it's been interesting that number of the interviews I've done are people that are coming out of that background and want to work with that population. The one I had in mind originally would be like high school coaches who would benefit from a master's degree because they get a pay raise when they get a master's degree. A lot of them that are coaching at that level probably haven't had a lot of the sports psychology in their background, and yet they're working with kids every day in those kind of settings do it. Said we also have had people that have been dancers or musicians that have contacted us about this because that whole area of optimal performance and things that are really more things that they're looking at for helping themselves as opposed to necessarily doing this in order to coach other people. So I think we get both sides here, people that are looking for their own avenues to better performance and those that are looking at avenues to help other people with their performances.
Got it. All right. So when a student is applying or a prospective student is applying, what does that admissions process look like on our end? And what should that look like on their end?
It's a fairly streamlined system here. You need to have a bachelor's degree from an accredited school to come in, but we don't ask for more than that for coming into the master's program. They would be doing an interview with me in this case before they are entered into the program. We ideally want a grade point average of 3.0 in their undergraduate programs. We do have students who, for one reason or another, have lower grade point average. We will still look at them. We'll talk with them about why that may be, so it's not an automatic write-off. There are no papers to write or other obstacles to admissions for this one. So basically, the interest in the area and a bachelor's degree will get you into the front door for the interview, and then from there we'll determine whether this is a good fit for the student.
Okay, that sounds very straightforward. What does a day in the life of the program look like? Then you mentioned that it's a streamlined admissions process. I'm sure there's stuff to do to get the degree to move forward in that. What does that look like? Yeah.
Well, there are 13 courses plus a colloquium that students will take to finish this program. Two of those are just pure electives. The other 11 of the courses are designed specifically to meet the requirements of someone who's getting a degree in sports psychology. The 40th credit is a colloquium, which is a one-credit class that they'll attend the whole time that they're at Saybrook. It's a course that meets once a month with the entire psychophysiology department, and we bring in outside speakers and others during that time. The first part of that meeting is the whole department, discussing any issues and problems and problem-solving as a group, and then we'll bring in an outside speaker. I anticipate with this program that we'll bring in a number of extra speakers just because there are so many real experts that sports psychology made a difference for them in their own performances. So when you go to the conferences, there are Olympic champions and others who come and talk about how the sports psychology made the difference in getting them to that top level. There are also inspiring stories of people who had severe injuries or started out with disabilities and how they were able to overcome those things, both physiologically but also psychologically, in order to continue to participate in their sports. People sometimes underestimate how much sports or music or acting or dance plays a role in people's lives, and the chance that an injury or an attitude could end that can have devastating responses. So if we're able to help those people find avenues to stay in and continue, it can be really a life-changing experience.
So you're saying there may be some Olympic champions or Olympians along the way, maybe some famous musicians?
We explicitly say that that's going to be one of the requirements, is that they go out there and make us look really good.
All right. There you go. I like that. That's very good. So a couple final questions as we wrap this up, but I can't help but think how important having good faculty members were in my own graduate study. I know they've made a difference for you. What is it like working with faculty members in the program and at Saybrook University? What can new students in sport performance psychology expect?
You know, I think in general, in the 15 or 16 years I've been at Saybrook, it's one of the consistent feedback we get from students is how inspiring their faculty is in each particular class, or what an important part it plays in their life. We don't have our complete faculty on board yet for this program. And one of the problems is we have some incredible applicants coming in, people who have been involved with Olympic sports and college sports and professional sports. And one of the courses that I'm looking to add, we have a faculty member who wrote the textbook in that particular field has applied for the job. So I think, you know, you'll find that the people that we have teaching these courses are people who love the topic. And when you have somebody who loves the topic, it's the best kind of teacher to have, because the enthusiasm they have just kind of bleeds over. And I think that's what the students feel when they're taking courses at Saybrook, is the joy that the professors have in the teaching of the field that they're teaching in.
Okay, that's great. Well, I'm looking forward to meeting these folks when you bring them on board. That'll be excellent. That'll be outstanding. Yes, and I think the big takeaway question, too, for a lot of grad students is there a final project or thesis they have to do?
This program does not have a thesis or a dissertation project. It's basically a 40-hour class, so they'll complete the 40 hours, and that gets them the criteria both for us and for the external. So there's no sweating out a dissertation at the end of the road on this one. This one is straight through to the master's degree without the thesis.
All right. That's very, very direct and clear. Lastly, when a student graduates from this program, what jobs might they qualify for?
Well, they would absolutely qualify for coaching positions. You know, a number of people with these degrees go into private consulting. Even some of our ex-faculty have been consultants for Green Bay Packers, for the U.S. Olympic teams. Those are the types of roles that people with this background gravitate towards. So whether it's at the local junior high teaching girls tennis, or whether it's at the high school level or college or professional ranks, you know, this is the entry-level degree to get into any of those positions.
Outstanding. Well, before we close it up for today, Dr. Wilmarth, anything else you'd like to add about our new program?
Well, the thing that I'm really excited about has been of the people I've interviewed for this program so far on the student level, they have been excellent. You know, experienced, bright, and I'm really looking forward to having new cohorts of students come in. Because it'll be a starting up program, there won't be a full cohort right off the bat. Fortunately, we have already a master's degree in optimal functioning. We have a master's degree in applied psychophysiology. So the classes that we'll be taking with other students, but I think it's going to be a really nice to watch the growth of this program and the students that it brings into Saybrook.
All right. Terrific. Well, Dr. Wilmarth, appreciate very much your expertise, your excitement around the new sport performance psychology program. Two remaining questions that every guest can't escape this interview without answering. First question, these are real quick takes. I think you've done this before, so you know what this is. What does the term humanistic mean to you, sir?
You know, I panicked there when you asked that because, boy, I think the last time I probably had thought about this, this one will be completely off the top of my head. But, you know, I equate it with justice, with kindness, with a thoughtful consideration of what's best for people.
It's beautiful. I actually think it's very timely in these difficult times, actually, yes. And last question, what are three things people can do right now to take charge of their emotional, physical, and or mental health?
Well, you know, I think probably the most important, you know, I'm speaking from Michigan where it's already dark outside, it's cold outside. We've got that November to February. Some of the most important things we can do to fend off depression is physical exercise and social interaction. That gets very difficult this time of year for people. So I don't think it means everybody's going to be depressed this time of year. I think it means that they have to be more intentional not to be. So I think reaching out to other people, making a phone call to somebody you haven't talked to in a long time, going to the mall and going for a walk if you can't go for a walk outside, but somehow physically engaging with other people and doing things, I think, is probably the best protection we have for ourselves. And it has a side benefit of it helping the people that you're engaging with. So it's kind of a win-win.
Thank you very much, Dr. Wilmarth. He is the department chair of our psychophysiology program here at Saybrook University. It has been a pleasure, as always. We go back a long way, and I've always been impressed with your commitment to innovation and driving forward on helping the institution continue to make a difference in the world. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
I want to thank Eric again. Remember his major takeaways. Get lots of physical exercise, social interaction. Be intentional about these things. I really also love the suggestion he made about making that phone call or writing a letter or sending an email to someone you haven't connected with in some time. I'll give you an example of this. I reached out to a mentor of mine about 6, 7, 8 weeks ago. He had helped me in the early days of my first college presidency, Dr. James Vitruba. And I had just gotten so busy with life, I had forgotten to connect. And reaching out as I did created all these feelings of just good memories about Dr. Vitruba, about all the wonderful advice he gave me and the important elements of friendship and reaching out to just say thank you. It can make a big difference. So think about doing those types of things. It can make a big difference for not only you, but the person you're reaching out to. If you want to see the YouTube version, please see our Saybrook YouTube page. We're in the playlist there. That's really terrific. If you'd like to support the podcast, go to Apple iTunes, leave that 5-star rating and review, and subscribe so you can get episodes as they come out. If you're on Spotify, leave the 5-star rating and make sure to follow us. You can, of course, subscribe to us on most major podcast platforms, including Google, Stitcher, Pandora, and others. Remember to check our show notes for information on today's topic, sport performance psychology or human optimal functioning. We're going to include links to the program pages so you can look those up in more detail. And if you'd like to just learn more about Saybrook University, go to www.saybrook.edu or simply Google Saybrook University. That's all for today, folks. Thanks so much. Take care and be well.